Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're going to be taking your phone calls this half hour. If you have anything you want to talk about or what we've been talking about on the show, the Twitter poll for today is, aside from Josh Allen, which player on the Buffalo Bills has the most to prove? Chime in and tell us what you think. We also had Solomon Wilcots on the program as well. He talked about there's some situations with the quarterbacks around the league, all the new guys that are on different teams, guys from the differences between Teddy Bridgewater and Phillip Rivers, the veterans who've moved around. And to the guys like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, all of those guys who are around. He had some pretty interesting thoughts on those. And what were your overall, Brownie, what were your impressions of, you know, what Solomon had to say about, you know, guys like Phillip Rivers and Teddy Bridgewater, the veterans who found a spot, like, and Jameis Winston as well. I mean, guys who have found a spot to land. And what it means, and should their fans be really excited about it?
Well, I mean, I think it certainly changed the dynamic for a lot of teams. You know, Carolina had a franchise quarterback in Cam Newton, but they clearly decided it was better to move on from him, and they invested wholeheartedly in Teddy Bridgewater to kind of carry them into the next era under Matt Rhule. Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis, I think, is tremendously intriguing. Because even in a truncated offseason here, this is a guy who's already played in that offensive scheme and you would think could hit the ground running and may give Indianapolis an early season edge over some of these other teams with new quarterbacks. So those are the things that I kind of pulled from Solomon. And I should mention, yeah, Steve, we do have some breaking NFL news with respect to the rules proposals from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. The NFL owners have tabled the 4th-and-15 alternative to the onside kick. He said he's being told that further discussion is needed as the owners see it. So no vote on that today at all.
That's crazy talk.
So that's been tabled.
Why don't they put that in?
I don't know.
I'm a special teams guy, and I don't want to see an onside kick. I want to see a 4th-and-15.
Yeah, I thought it had a better chance of getting approved after they made it a play that would happen on an untimed down.
So, yeah, right?
You know, if you're down 7, you know, if you're down 15 in the last 2 minutes, you get a touchdown, and now, you know, onside kick or 4th-and-15, well, if you only have 7 seconds on the clock, you know, the 4th-and-15 doesn't rob you of any time. It's an untimed down now, so you could, if you get the first down on 4th-and-15, now you've got another 7 seconds to make a second play and maybe get in scoring territory,
right,
to do something. So I thought that gave it an enhanced chance of passing, but they've decided to table it and believe it needs more time. Now, here's an interesting one, though. A bylaw change increasing the number of players that may be designated to return from injured reserve goes from 2 to 3 players now. That was approved today. So that's interesting. And I think that's a good thing. I know that there was always this concern that people would manipulate the injured reserve designation with this, but how many times have we seen it over the years where a guy doesn't necessarily have a season-ending injury, but Maybe they've had
8 weeks.
Maybe they've had a couple of injuries at one position, and his is the most serious, and they need bodies, so they have to use his roster spot to get a healthy, let's just say, receiver, for lack of a better example, on the roster, and so the only choice is to put him on IR. So yeah. Knowing you can have three such players return from IR this year instead of two, I think will help a lot of teams.
Yeah, and it'll be specific. There'll be specific situations where, just like you described, where it'll be a roster problem, and it's not really something the fans would be that into, but it's true. It does make a difference for the football people, because sometimes they get into a pinch where they just don't have enough guys to get on the field. So that's because of that, I think that's a good rule. And let's face it, they limit that because teams did exploit that loophole. You know, then, a guy goes down in the last preseason game. He's like, now he's not only is he on the practice squad, he's on IR, which is virtually a practice squad thing.
Right.
So they can keep him around and protect him from other teams.
So three rules change proposals submitted by teams were approved. One of them, make permanent expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by fouls. So if there's a touchdown play and there's a flag that negates it, those will be automatically reviewed
right.
to almost
That's
pick
good.
The flag up.
So they'll be able to pick the flag up, is what you're saying?
That's what it looks like. Make permanent expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays / turnovers negated by fouls. So
All right. To
me that reads, review the replay and determine whether you need to pick the flag up. Expands defenses player protection on kick and punt returns. So it'll be interesting.
For the returners, probably, yeah.
And then the last one is the one that I know was a bone of contention for a lot of coaches, preventing the manipulation of the game clock with multiple dead ball fouls when you're faking injury or doing whatever.
How awesome was it when Tennessee did that to New England last year?
I know. Bill Belichick was as hot as I've ever seen him during a game.
He stood there. You could just see the steam coming out. Vrabel did it to him too, man. He was like, just do it.
He's got
awesome.
His face behind a play calling card, with a Cheshire Cat smile and
laughing. Oh my gosh, that was delicious. Going back to the 4th and 15, here's the thing. You touched on it. When you start talking about it as an untimed down, and instead of having an onside kick, they're going to do this 4th and 15 thing. Well, let's just give them, our fans here, the listeners, a little chance to hear why it's a problem, or why they think they got to fix it. In 2013 to 2017, they got, before they changed the onside kick rule, 49 of 299 onside kicks were recovered. That's 16.3%. It's a pretty good percentage. It's kind of where they want it. 12, and now in 2018 and 19, there were 114 onside kicks, and only got 12 of them, which is 10%. So they cut it almost by a third, the number of onside kicks that they were able to recover. So when you think about that, and then when you flip that over, say, we're going to fix that. We're going to get it back up to whatever. Incidentally, 4th and 15 plays are picked up at just about 16%, right where the old onside kick percentages were. That's why they picked 15 yards. And when you start to go down that thing about the untimed down, they also said this was not going to be available to a team in overtime.
Right, only regulation.
Right, which to me, it's crazy to think about. Why would you do that in overtime? So, for instance, overtime is over if you score a touchdown. So obviously a team kicks a field goal, then they choose one of their options to say, okay, we're going to take the 4th and 15 play. So if they get it and they go down and score another field goal, the other team never gets the ball anyway, right? Or if they get it and don't get it, they put the other team in field goal range right away. I mean, I don't get why that would be. You'd have to drive the field again. To score even after a 4th and 15 play, because it's not like you've scored again, and you have to give the other team the opportunity to possess, and an offensive play does not do that.
Right. in overtime, too, if each team has had one possession and you don't get it, that other team's stepping onto the field and kicking a field goal and the game's over.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know why they said it was just for regulation. So that, and I think it's just a shying away of unintended consequences, right? I mean, they don't believe they can think of all the different options that can go and somebody's going to take advantage of them.
Yeah. I think they've completely swung the other way in terms of being overly cautious now after the way, you know, being able to, you know, ramrodding through the addition of being able to challenge pass interference calls and non-calls last season, and probably doing it in a knee-jerk type fashion. They've done a complete 180 now, where they're just putting the brakes on just about everything. So,
yeah, you can join us if you want, 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here at One Bills Live. We're here till 3 o'clock. We had this Twitter poll today that we'll get back to, I guess, right now. Other than Josh Allen, who's the offensive player for the Buffalo Bills that has the most to prove in 2020? We've got some responses here from people who are listening. And from Matt, he says, we know what Diggs is. Choices we gave you were Deion Dawkins, the left tackle, Steph Diggs, the new wide receiver, Dawson Knox, the second-year tight end, or other. You can pick somebody else. And from Matt, he says, we know what Stephon Diggs is. Dawson Knox is a second-year player that we hope makes a step or takes a step like Josh Allen did last year. Deion Dawkins, although is a great teammate, has to prove his struggles with speed rushers. Has to improve his struggles with speed rushers. Well, Matt doesn't make a choice, does he?
I'm guessing he's picking Dawkins because he's saying Knox has to take a step. Like, Dawkins has to improve. So maybe he's kind of hedging between those two.
Yeah, I think so. And he also says Steph Diggs doesn't have anything to prove. We know him.
Yeah. I think the Dawkins thing is interesting only because it is a contract year.
Right.
And so I think he's really got to cement. I think the organization does think a lot of Deion Dawkins. I don't think there's any question about that. But to cement his status and likelihood of getting a big second contract, I think it would certainly help for him to put together his best year this year and cement himself as the left tackle for the long term.
Well, one of the things as well that you got to talk about with this, Brownie, is, you know, say Deion Dawkins has this great left tackle year and Josh Allen takes another step forward. He's completing 63% or 65% of his passes and Tremaine Edmonds is leading a defense that's another top one or two defense in the league, and he gets three interceptions on the year, five interceptions on the year, something like that. And you got Tre'Davious White sitting there who's all pro for the second year in a row. Who are they going to extend?
Milano.
Yeah, who are they going to extend? Because they're starting to line up. And the issue is, like, of course the Bills want to extend all those guys. They want to sign those guys to deals and get them done. But, you know, the simple fact of the matter is this. There's a good chance that next year the salary cap for the National Football League is going to be smaller than it is this year. So you have less money to spend on these guys in years where they're going to be in line to make a lot of money. That's going to be interesting to see. The league, the union, the teams, players, agents—all they're sure they should be—they're all bracing for a hit on the salary cap, and that means and you talk about bad luck for a guy like a Deion Dawkins who comes up. He's up ripe to become a free agent and to hit a home run, and all of a sudden it's in a year where the salary cap, the floor is dropped out. You know, it contracts by 20%. Or 15%, or even 10%, because of what's happened with the COVID virus. That's got to give Brandon Bean a lot of hesitation about getting these guys lined up and starting to sign them to extensions, don't you think?
Well, it's going to be more difficult because they probably forecasted their budgeting based on the average increase of the salary cap each year. And now there's a chance that the 2021 salary cap goes the other way.
Yeah.
And that's going to complicate managing what are expected to be pretty sizable contracts. And, you know, Matt Milano's another guy that you got to throw into this mix too. I mean, the guy that's playing on arguably a Pro Bowl level. He was getting some Pro Bowl consideration as early as 2018 when he got hurt at the end of the year and kind of fell off the Pro Bowl map. And then last year put together a solid season as well. I mean, this is a guy that's entering a contract year too. Right. So you have to wonder how they're going to prioritize. You still have time on Josh because he was in the 18 draft. He's not in the 17 draft class like Milano, Dawkins, and White are. But I think White you have to take care of first and square that away after you now have picked up that fifth-year option to buy yourself a little time. Milano and Dawkins are going to be tough, and it may very well hinge on who has the better season that steps up higher in the pecking order.
Yeah, it's a huge question.
Gets the big deal.
It's a huge question for GMs, and they don't have any answers yet. Nobody has any answers to what this season's going to look like, what the revenue's going to look like, what the television contracts are going to look like. All of that stuff is up in the air. And certainly for the first time in your – since its inception, the cap has a chance to go down, not for anything that the league has done wrong, but because of a pandemic that hit and has everybody's doors closed, and you can't have fans in the stands. Huge financial hit for the league. It's big, and I think that's going to affect, you know, what these guys are going to be able to command when the league does start signing them to these contracts. I mean, you guys that's in the midst of that is Dak Prescott. We spoke to Solomon Wilcots about that as well. Solomon Wilcots, I mean, Dak Prescott's asking for $40 million plus a year, right? That's not going to happen if the salary cap goes from $200 million to $180.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I asked Solomon, how much of a factor do you think this lost revenue in 2020 is impacting those negotiations right now? How do the Dallas Cowboys budget for a $37 to $40 million per year quarterback when there's a chance that that salary cap could slide back as much as $10, $12 million from what it is right now?
He could be as much as, you know, and Solomon Wilcots said that's, you know, the $40 million is like 20% of the cap, and no team with a quarterback making more than 18% of their cap has ever won a Super Bowl. How big is his percentage going to be if he makes $40 million on 100? It's a math problem, and I don't want to take a shot at it, but, you know, what's $40 million out of 180 million? What percentage is that? It's unbelievable how big a percentage that is. For one guy.
Yeah.
It would cripple the franchise for the length of the deal, for the entire length of the deal.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to do it.
Hey, with respect to the tweet sheet, there's one that's jumping out at me like a sore thumb here.
All right.
In terms of offensive players besides Josh Allen with the most approved. This is a different take, which is why it was sticking out to me, Steve, but it's from Jeremiah. He went with other, and his pick was Robert Foster. So much physical ability and potential, which he's right about, but this is a guy that's got to prove he's deserving of a roster spot. Forget about proving that, you know, he can be a regular contributor on offense. This guy's fighting for his roster life this year, isn't he?
Right. I agree with that. I'll tell you this. If Robert Foster makes the Bills roster this year, forget that rookie year 2 years ago when he was catching all the long balls and he was a rookie free agent. And that will be the greatest accomplishment of his young career, just making the roster.
This year, yeah.
This year, just making the roster will be an enormous accomplishment for Robert Foster, for Isaiah McKenzie, and Duke Williams. I mean, those three guys, it'll be a monumental task for one of those guys to get on the active roster. Now, I don't know how many wide receivers they're planning on keeping because, you know, that number seems to be edging up higher and higher as the years pass.
Yeah.
But this is a tough roster to get on, especially at that spot.
I've done roster position breakdowns when the first 53-man roster has been set probably over the last 10 years, and I don't believe at any point in time have they ever carried more than six receivers on the initial 53-man roster. Right. There may be one exception in there when they carried seven because one of them had a long-term injury, but they didn't want to put him on IR. But six has typically been the max. And you know the top three are already lock, stock, and barrel. with Diggs, Brown, and Beasley. So where to go from there is going to be some of the most intense competition I think we've seen at that position in quite some time.
I would agree with that. I would agree. It's going to be the most intriguing battle of training camp. Those receivers don't know who's going to make it. And you're right. If you're going to ask for guys you got it to prove, it depends on what you think they have to prove. Some of them have to prove they just deserve to be on the team, and that's all there is to it. So we'll see. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, we're here till 3 o'clock. One Bills Drive.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One Bills Live, not from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Come back and join us and give us a call, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. We're here till 3 and we'll take your calls. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. It's time for True False, Brownie. NFL True False. Brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Are you ready, Brownie?
Let's do it, man. True or
riveting,
false?
Riveting true falses today. Here we go.
I'm ready.
NFL true false number one. Bill Belichick should be a favorite to win coach of the year in 2020.
Isn't this guy always a favorite?
Yeah. I don't know. Now, here's the thing.
Now more than ever.
Right. Is your favorite to win the coach of the year the guy who's going to have the worst team, or the guy who's going to have the best team?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I fear that Belichick will be a favorite to win coach of the year because everybody and their brother know what he lost. They know what he's lost in Tom Brady. So they're automatically handicapping him because he doesn't have his all-world quarterback. So if he can win 8 games this year, he might be in the running. So I disagree with the statement. Bill Belichick should be a favorite to win coach of the year in 2020. No, that's false. But he probably will be because everybody knows what he lost, which is an all-world quarterback.
And he also lost four out of the 7 starters from a number one defense as well.
Yeah, including 3 starting linebackers. So he'll get the sympathetic vote. So I think it might happen, but he shouldn't.
There's nobody going to be sympathetic to that guy. Are you kidding? But I will say this, let me just ask you this. What do you think the over-under on wins for the Patriots is this year?
I'm going to say 7.5.
Okay.
Why? Do you think that's generous?
No, I'm picking them to win 10 games.
10? Oh, you're going to kill me if that can't happen. Come on.
Listen, they've been doing it with Division II athletes for years. Why? What makes you think they can't do it without Tom Brady? All right, here we go.
I don't need it. I don't want it to happen.
All right. I would say you saying it's true. You're saying it's false because
I'm saying false. Yeah.
Right.
He
okay.
Shouldn't be.
But he will be. Well, if you're trying to predict, you're saying yeah, he should be. If you're saying whether it's true or not, you're saying it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say if you're going to predict it, I'm going to say you're probably right. He is the best coach. He is the best candidate to get coach of the year because everybody else expects their teams to be better.
Right.
They're the only ones now that are like you're looking at going, I don't know. Right.
I mean, if a team comes out of the woodwork and goes 13-3, you know, then that's probably the only thing that could trump a Belichick 9 or 10 win season with what he's got.
I get you. All right. So we both kind of agree on the Bill Belichick one. He probably is going to be coach of the year or best candidate to win it early in the season because of all he's lost and the fact that if they can win enough games, that'll give it to him. All right. Number NFL true or false number two. Jadeveon Clowney is only hurting himself by waiting to sign with a team.
Yeah, I'm kind of puzzled by this whole thing. I understand that at the outset it was about meeting his contract demands and the money that he wanted. But when that initial market softened, you got to go find the best one-year deal you can get and reset it for next year, especially in the climate of the offseason that we currently have. I can't believe a player of his caliber, who all indications are is healthy, is still there. You know, you understand why Cam Newton is still available. You understand why some of these other guys coming off injury are
Joe
still
Flacco
sitting
out. Joe Flacco took a long time, yeah.
You understand why they're still twisting in the wind right now because they can't get into NFL facilities, right, get in front of that team's doctors and, you know, get a once over in terms of a physical. But Clowney, man, this one's puzzling to me. So I would say true. I think he is hurting himself because I don't see how he's going to do much better. He's going to be coming in on a bargain basement deal no matter where he signs at this point. Well, who's got money left?
Well, here's the thing. Cleveland offered him a pretty good deal, I guess. He balked at going, taking the deal from Cleveland. They were the most aggressive with him financially is what Adam Schefter said. And for whatever reason, and you can take your guess, Clowney doesn't want to play in Cleveland. He doesn't believe Cleveland's going to turn it around, I guess.
Terrible playing opposite Myles Garrett, though.
Yeah, I know.
You're not going to get doubled every down.
Like, my question is, what are you doing?
He's hurting himself.
I agree. I think it's true. He is hurting himself, even if nobody else. If you've got a deal, 1 year or not, or 5 year, whatever, sign it. You know?
I still can't believe the news we heard at the top of the hour that Devontae Freeman might sit the year out and come back next year. That defies logic for the running back position, maybe more than any other. I mean, how did that work out for Le'Veon Bell when he did that? I don't understand why Devontae Freeman would even entertain that.
Le'Veon Bell left 15. It's widely accepted that Le'Veon Bell left $15 million on the table because of that. And he lost, but
not
he
only
get
that,
a you didn't have to play, but
a year of your career at the running back position.
Right.
Like, I don't know that there are too many running backs in the league that are ready to squander that and just sit on the sideline. That was mind blowing to me when I heard that.
Right. I think you got to get a contract. If you're a player and you get a good deal, you got to sign that. Because right now, they call it a free agent. What it really is unemployed. And the job market is dried up. So now what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, what are you waiting around for?
That's right.
There's not some magical bucket of cash that's going to fall out of a tree somewhere and hit you on the head.
Yeah.
You got to take the best one-year deal you can find in a situation where you feel you can rack up some stats so you can enter the free agent market next spring and cash in. Because it's not happening this year.
To earn money in the NFL, you got to be on the field. You got to be under contract. You got to be on the field.
And in this,
and if you're not on a team, you can't get on the field.
And in this unusual set of circumstances that we have in this offseason, where owners are legitimately concerned about the revenue streams, do you really think anybody's paying you big money right now? I mean, no more than ever with a capital N and a capital O. Clowney.
So we both think it's
program
true.
Here.
We think that's true. Jadeveon Clowney is hurting himself by waiting to sign with the team. All right, NFL number three is the last one. There's a lot to chew on here, Brownie. NFL true false number three. The NFL needs a developmental league now more than ever. True or false?
1,000% true. I had a long conversation on this show. It went for about an hour. We had Jim Kelly in studio. And I was talking to him about a developmental league for football. And we talked about the demise of NFL Europe and what a great feeder system it was for the NFL for the 10, 12 years it was in existence. And when that went away, the league suffered from a developmental standpoint. because coaching staffs in the league weren't as stringently built to teach and develop. And it right. took some adjusting by a lot of these teams across the league to have more teaching type coaches on their staff, recognizing the gap in player development as the college and pro game separated and separated and separated one from the other all the more in terms of types of play.
It was a different era. It was
a different era. Yes,
and
admittedly
And what you're saying is this, and here's the way it was. You're right. Back in the day when I came in and before me and for a while after me, before NFL Europe and all that, you would come into the NFL and they'd say, okay, here's our concepts, here's what you're going to do and whatever, and go do it. Now, and the guys would come in, and if you had learned enough or if you were gifted enough to dominate, that's how you would play if you were gifted or better than the other guy they had on the roster. Now, you've got it's down to the fact where it's all about technique. Not only do you have to know the concepts, you have to know where to line up and know what route to run. You've got to have techniques to unveil and to use against the defenses that are and the guy that's playing you. Hand-to-hand combat as a defensive lineman, footwork, stance, width of stance, width of splits. All of this stuff is, you know, shade, outside shade, inside shade, which hand you want on the ground on a certain down. All of that stuff, nobody was teaching it. Because it wasn't the way they were wired in the NFL. And then, you know, so you get these guys that can hang around for a year or two, then they develop and some of the older players they watch it and they're smart enough to learn. That's how they became great and productive players. With a developmental league, now you've got and the NFL's changed as well. Now they've got teachers. Look at like Sean McDermott's staff. Oh my, you know, they develop players. They are very good at it, and it's served them well. More and more teams are doing that. So that kind of negates the need for a developmental league. But that's only the only guys that are getting developed are the ones that actually get drafted and signed and are on a practice squad. And I think that whatever population outside the NFL and those rosters is out there, those are the guys that are missing out and never get a play.
I just read something yesterday saying there was an opinion column, and the writer was saying the NFL should buy the XFL and make it their developmental league. You got an 8-team league. You have player allocations, just like you did with NFL Europe, where NFL clubs can allocate certain players to play there in the spring and summer. They'll still be able to come to training camp and get back in your systems, you know, come the NFL season. And granted, that might be a long year for them, but if they have a chance to make it because they've developed for a couple of years in the XFL, well, now you've created a valuable pipeline, and you put coaches in that league that coach more pro style than maybe wide open college, where you have guys hearing plays in the huddle. They're not getting plays from the sideline. They're running a full route tree if they're a receiver. You can cater it to the things that you need your players to be able to do. There's more control there. And I think it makes a ton of sense. Now, maybe the timing is bad because of this COVID-19 mess that we're in.
It's a buyer's market if you've got the cash to get it. They're in bankruptcy. The XFL's in bankruptcy. You can pick it up for that. But the problem is this, and I'll read this from CBS Sports. I'm not sure of who the author is, but from CBSSports.com. The XFL is a perfect fit to improve the league's diversity, depth. Interest in the defunct XFL is quite high, according to reports. There are dozens of motivated and qualified parties looking to purchase the league in bankruptcy. Proceedings with an eye to relaunching it as soon as February, according to The Athletic. That's according CBS quoting The Athletic. That begs one obvious question is, why not the NFL? Why doesn't the NFL just scoop it up, incorporated into use their players and others to run that league, sell tickets, sell TV rights in the spring, and all of a sudden you've got the NFL in the fall and stuff, and you don't have to go year-round then. Then you've got a league of your own, a developmental league, that takes you through the off-season, and your TV rights don't get small. They get big.
Right, and I'm going to take it a step further. I'll give you a secondary benefit. With all that they're trying to do to increase the rate of minority hires, Here's another place to groom legitimate future head coaching candidates by giving them a ton more responsibility in running football teams in the XFL. You want to fast track some minority candidates to the head coaching ranks in the NFL? Have a developmental league to develop them as coaches as well.
That's exactly right. It's a great idea. And it, you know, and you can, I don't know how it's in bankruptcy. You know, Vince McMahon was accused of trying to buy his own league back in bankruptcy. He said he doesn't want it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. But that's an intriguing option for the NFL that I had not given any thought to at all.
I love it. I think it has to happen. Quite frankly, because and yes, some of what college football has become has migrated into the NFL, sure, maybe more so in the last 3 or 4 years than certainly in the previous five. So it is changing and going that way. But the best thing about a developmental league is you can shape it and mold it to fit the developmental properties you want it to have. So you have a pipeline of plug-and-play type players. What kind of player would Robert Foster be now, entering his third NFL season, if he was a regular starter for 20 games the last 2 years in the XFL?
Right.
He'd be a better player than he is now because he's playing in real games, live action, you know,
right,
making sight adjusts and all that other stuff. That's where it's at. I think they've got to really explore that for a number of reasons.
I agree. That's NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, we're here at 2:03. We'll be right back. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. This is One Bills Live, brought to Light of Health. What do we learn? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. We had Solomon Wilcots on our show earlier today. He had a lot to talk about, particularly with young quarterbacks and also with the optimism surrounding the Buffalo Bills. Here's what Solomon had to say about that optimism.
I love what Sean McDermott has done with rebuilding that team. You know, the defense, I think, is the core of that football team. And like, say, the New England Patriots and even a couple of other teams, I think the Bills are doing a great job of building their defense from the back end to the front. Coverage comes first in today's National Football League. You and I both know it. You can't let teams throw it over your head. You can't give up big plays. And this secondary is easily one of the best in the NFL for the last 3 years, and I think they continue to get better. The offense has now added some pieces that we just love. And this is really, you know, everybody talks about Josh Allen, and for good reason, because they surrounded him with talent. And in his third season, that's when you start to see what you got.
That was Solomon Wilcots on What Do We Learn, brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment company, the rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Brownie, we had a Twitter poll as well, other than Josh Allen. Which offensive player on the Bills roster has the most to prove in 2020? Dawson Knox won it with 39% of the vote. Stephon Diggs was second with 36% of the vote. Deion Dawkins was third, and every 8% said somebody else. I guess it's no big surprise there. Those guys are pretty obvious candidates.
Yeah. Knox is interesting. You know, as we were talking about yesterday, he's kind of an under-the-radar type weapon that could be on the come and be a bigger contributor than I think many outside observers are expecting, with all the focus being put on Diggs, Brown, and Beasley. So he's going to see a lot of one-on-ones. There's going to be times where he has favorable matchups on linebackers or even some safeties just because of his pure athleticism and size. And if he can, you know, make his catch rate a little bit more consistent, it's another weapon in Josh Allen's toolbox to take advantage of. Steve, there is one update on that 4th and 15 proposal that ultimately was not even voted on. So it says, this is from Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, there was no official vote on the 4th and 15 proposal, but they did take a virtual show of hands during the call, and it did not have the support to pass at this time. So it would have needed 24 or 32 votes, as you know, and it didn't have it, so they didn't vote on it.
All right, that's it. Thanks, Jay Harris. Thanks, Kelly Rood. Thanks, Joe DiBiase. We'll be back tomorrow. One Bills Live from home, just radio for the next coming weeks, as for the obvious reasons. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.